The Christmas season is upon us once again, the time of year that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christmas Day falls on December 25th, but I like to celebrate Christmas the whole month of December. I begin breaking out the Christmas music, and we decorate for the holidays, and to me, the whole month leads up to that day of celebration. Sometimes Christmas Day itself is a bit of an anticlimax for me, honestly, because the whole month is a wonderful celebration of the coming of God the Son. Now, I will say this, I don't go as far as many retail stores. They start into Christmas right after Halloween. Those of you that know me, I don't like to play Christmas music before Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving's a great holiday itself. But now Thanksgiving is past. We are entering into the season of Advent, where we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of two widely accepted religious holidays that is still accepted by our culture. Easter is the other. Though, for the most part, the world celebrates the birth of Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Christmas has become an excuse for self-indulgence, materialism, and partying. It's degenerated into a secularized social event that often misses the true meaning altogether. Now, in our ever-increasingly secular society, we hear many claims that Christmas is not a religious holiday at all. It's a pagan holiday, they say. Now, there's no doubt many elements of our present-day Christmas customs that really don't have relevance to the biblical story of Christ's birth. Some of these really have more relevance to the ancient Roman festivals that were happening in the centuries after Christ's birth. There is, in fact, much historical evidence that some of these pagan customs became grafted into the modified forms of our Christmas holiday. And partly for that reason, we've seen a reaction against Christmas by some Christians and some church groups. The Puritans in early America rejected Christmas altogether. They deliberately worked on December 25th to show their disdain for this holiday. There was a law passed in England in 1644 that reflected a similar influence. The law made Christmas Day a working day. For a time in England, it was literally illegal to cook plum pudding and mince pie for the holidays. Now, I'm not sure I mind that law all that much, but if they were to try to outlaw turkey and stuffing, they'd have a fight on their hands. In fact, there's really no indication that the early Christians observed the birth of Christ at all. It wasn't until some centuries after that that the birth of Christ was celebrated. And even then, they couldn't quite agree on what day to celebrate. There were dates given from March, April, November, December, January. Just couldn't quite focus on a day until about the fourth century when the official Roman Church, once Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, decided on December 25th. Yet there are many scholars today that say Jesus couldn't have been born on December 25th for some reasons we'll get to a little bit later. So it's not surprising that you see various groups of Christians, both past and present, who've reacted against celebrating Christmas. So much so they'll reject the whole idea and prohibit their members from taking part in them. But I wonder, is that really necessary? Do we have to abandon Christmas altogether because some people say it's just a pagan holiday? Because maybe some elements have come into our cultural celebrations that may not directly come from the gospel accounts of Christ's birth? Do we then have to just throw away Christmas? Or can we use Christmas as an opportunity to reach those who don't know Christ, but for some reason celebrate Christmas? I believe that we can. And so over the next four Sundays, the Sundays of Advent, I want to address the question, how Christian is our Christmas? Not from the perspective of being judgmental, not trying to point a finger and say this is wrong, but rather, where do some of these customs come from? If they are not out of the New Testament, what are they based on? And most importantly, how can we use these as opportunities to share the hope of Jesus Christ with the world? Now, we begin this morning with the actual date of Christmas. Why do we celebrate on December 25th? Is there any historical basis for that at all? Or is it what the culture says, a cultural appropriation of a Roman pagan festival? Max Lucado writes, God made so little of his son's coming, he didn't even circle the date on the calendar. Ancient Christmases bounced from date to date before landing on December 25th. Some early church leaders favored dates in March. For centuries, the Eastern Orthodox celebrated on January 6th. Some still do. Only in the 4th century did the church choose December 25th as the date to celebrate his coming. Why is that? Does it matter? Can we still celebrate it on that day and be true to our Christian roots? Can we use this holiday to share the good news of Jesus to an unbelieving world? I believe we can. So we begin with the secular allusion. I must admit, pinpointing the precise date of Christ's birth is very challenging because scholars can't even agree on the year, let alone the date. Unfortunately, when a well-meaning monk had set up our present-day calendar with the BC and the AD years, he wanted to set the zero at the birth of Christ. And everything that happened before then would be before Christ, BC. Everything happening after this would be AD. That's not after death. I know a lot of people that think that AD means after death. It does not. It's actually Latin, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Unfortunately, he missed by probably about 5 years. Because according to his calendar, Herod the Great died in 4 BC. But we know from the gospel accounts, particularly Matthew, that Herod was very much alive when Jesus was born. It's true that he died soon thereafter, but it certainly wasn't 4 years before Christ came. And so it is somewhat difficult to precisely date when Christ was born. Historian Paul Meyer points out that although a precise date seems unattainable for the Nativity, we could suggest that late 5 BC is probably the closest we can get to pinpointing Christ's birth. Late in the year of 5 BC. How do we come to that conclusion? Well, it is actually based on the life and death of King Herod, Herod the Great, that appears in Matthew chapter 1 and 2. Josephus records that Herod's death occurred between an eclipse and the Passover of 4 BC. The only eclipse recorded in this period was on March 4th. And we know that Passover was in mid-April. So we've got a very precise time frame within about a month that Herod died. We know from Matthew chapter 2 that Jesus was born while Herod was alive. Herod tried to have him killed. An angel warned Joseph to take Mary and the child go to Egypt. And while they were there, Herod died. They were allowed to come back. We do know when that happened. So we can have a general idea of when Jesus would have been born. Now you might wonder, why don't we know Jesus' birth date with any more precision? Well, some early Christians objected to birthday celebrations at all. They viewed them as pagan celebrations. And so it wasn't noted precisely what date people were born. They would get the year. They would speak of in the 32nd year of so-and-so. But the dates were not that important. And so it wasn't written down. One early church father said that the only two birthdays mentioned in the Bible, one was for Pharaoh and the other was Herod Antipas, and they both resulted in executions. So he didn't think it was a real good idea to celebrate birthdays for that reason. So by the end of the second century after Christ came, if there was any knowledge of precisely the date, it had been forgotten. We do know historically that by AD 336, the official Roman calendar observed the birth of Christ on December 25th. I'm not saying that's when they first suggested that date. That's when it became official. We do know that. By the 6th century, the entire Western Church had moved the celebration of the Nativity to that date, along with the shepherd's visit. Now, the Eastern Church will still celebrate Epiphany on January the 6th. That's when they believe that the wise men came and gave their worship. Now, the most common explanation you'll hear as to why we celebrate on December 25th is one of substitution. There were two Roman festivals that were taking place in the ancient world right around the time of Christmas. The first is called Saturnalia. Saturnalia was celebrated from December 17th to the 24th. It was a week-long bash, and they partied it up. It was all about drinking and gambling and singing and gift-giving, and it was just a jolly old time. One of the Roman poets described it as the best of times. It was their version of the most wonderful time of the year. And they partied it up. I mean, it was a wild celebration. It honored the agricultural god Saturn. And yes, that's the same god for which the planet with the rings was named. It was considered the most popular holiday of the Roman calendar. It was derived from some of the older farming-related rituals of midwinter. Sometimes they would sacrifice to the gods of agriculture, hoping for a good crop the next year. But it was also a very social and festive time. People decorated their homes with wreaths and other greenery. They shed their traditional togas for more colorful clothes called syntheses. Even slaves didn't have to work during Saturnalia. And in some households, the masters would put the slaves at the head of the table and they would serve them. It was kind of a reversal of roles. And again, there was gift giving, playing music, singing, feasting, all of these things. The very long, slender candles, the taper candles, became popular during this time to signify light in the darkest time of the year. And the last day of Saturnalia celebrations, many Romans gave their friends and loved ones gifts. Usually they were small terracotta figurines, but they were gifts that were given to each other. You say, well, some of those things sound a bit familiar. Maybe that's why we do some of the things that we do. By the end of the 4th century, many of the traditions of Saturnalia, like the decorating with wreaths and greens, giving gifts, singing, lighting candles, feasting, had been incorporated into the celebration of Christmas. That's where we get these claims of cultural appropriation. Christians stole the holiday from the pagans, and you have some atheists today that want to take it back.
Now, Saturnalia was followed by the Feast of Sol Invictus, the unconquerable sun, and this was held on December 25th. In the ancient world, they believed that was the winter solstice. That was the first day of winter. It was the shortest day of the year. And the thinking behind this celebration was that on that day, the sun shone for the shortest period of time. It was like the sun was being born. It was born very small and weak. But as days progress, it becomes stronger. Days become longer. And so that was the rationale behind this Feast of Sol Invictus. And that became also the date that the church celebrated Christmas. In fact, they called it originally the Feast of the Nativity of the Son of Righteousness. I'm kind of glad they shortened it to Christmas myself. But they based that on a passage in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, which says, "The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings." A messianic prophecy, in essence saying, well, if you're going to worship the S-U-N Son, we're going to worship the S-O-N Son. And again, we hear outcries that Christians have stolen this pagan holiday and now they've appropriated it for themselves. And frankly, that leaves a lot of Christians uneasy. Why are we celebrating it on December 25th? Was it just chosen to counteract these pagan festivals? To replace them? And instead of replacing them, have they infiltrated and corrupted the birth of Christ because now we incorporate some of these same customs? You can see why some are a bit uneasy about celebrating the birth of Christ on this day. Now, I believe there is good historical basis that Christ very well could have been born on or around December the 25th. There was an early church leader named Hippolytus. He lived from 170 to 236 AD. This is 100 years before it became official to celebrate Christmas on December 25th. It was actually before the Feast of Sol Invictus became an official holiday. And even in his lifetime, he wrote, "The first coming of our Lord, that in the flesh, in which he was born at Bethlehem, took place on 8 days before the calends of January." And if you go back 8 days from that date on the Roman calendar, it is December 25th. That was established before some of these Roman festivals came into popularity. Others landed on this date as the birth of Jesus because it was 9 months from the spring solstice, which they had set as March 25th, the first day of spring. And their reasoning was, first day of spring, this is the first day of life. So this would have been when Christ was conceived and first began life as a human. Would have been born 9 months later, which would have been December 25th. You say, all right, but that's conjecture. There's no real history to that, is there? Maybe that's not a convincing argument for you. I think there are some scriptural elements we'll get to in a moment that lend more credence to that. But one thing we can say absolutely is that Christians had identified December 25th before these Roman festivals had been established. So it isn't just a mere cultural appropriation. This isn't a matter of just substitution. The first recorded reference to the day of Christ's birth is found early in the 3rd century, 100 years before it became official. And so we see that even in the secular world, yes, there are elements that correspond to that time of year. But Christians had identified that date even before the Roman celebrations had become official. And I don't believe that the critics of Christianity are correct in saying that Christians have stolen a pagan holiday and made it the birth of Christ. Let's move on to the scriptural attestation of the birth of Christ. Does the Bible provide us any chronological clues as to when Christ was born? I believe it does. Now, you begin in Luke chapter 2, probably the most familiar account of the birth of Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, Luke tries very hard. Luke was a historian, and he really tried to give us an anchor for when Christ was born. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "In those days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." So Caesar Augustus issues a decree from Rome. The whole world needs to be enrolled to be taxed. You thought taxation was only a current problem. Nah, it's been around a long, long time. Then Luke goes even one step further in verse 2. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And you see why Joseph would have taken Mary to Bethlehem and why Jesus was born there. This is great. All we have to do is find out when that census was and when Quirinius was in Syria. No problem. Problem is, the best date for the census is 8 BC, which is too early for Christ's birth. And for all we know, Quirinius was in Syria in AD 6, which is much too late. Wasn't as much help as we would hope. But again, Luke is anchoring this in a historic time. This is not a myth. This is an actual event. Now, if you go on in Luke's passage, down in verse 8 it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night." This has caused some scholars to say Jesus could not have been born in December because no shepherd in their right mind would have fields and flocks in the fields in the middle of winter. But we find that the Jewish Mishnah states that sheep that were raised in and around Bethlehem were used for temple sacrifices, and they were in the fields year-round. So we can't use that as an argument that Jesus could not have been born in December 25th. So what do we have? Well, I'd like to go back one chapter before, Luke chapter 1, kind of the preface to the Christmas story. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron." We find out that they were godly people, but they had not had children, and they were well advanced in years. You say, what does that have anything to do with when Christ was born? It all hinges on his identification with the clan of Abijah. This was a clan of priests, and the priests served at specific times during the year. And it can be shown that the priests of Abijah were ministering in the temple in September, during the Feast of Tabernacles, which was honored between September 20th and 25th. So on the last day of that celebration, as Zechariah goes into the temple to offer incense, he is approached by an angel that says, "Your wife, who everybody said was barren, is going to have a son, and that son is going to be the forerunner to the Messiah." You know the rest of the story. It's very likely that would have happened toward the end of September. Elizabeth becomes pregnant. Then we go on later in chapter 1 when Mary is approached by the angel Gabriel and says, that do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. You will call his name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign in the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. He is the promised Messiah. And you are going to bear him. And she says, how can this be? I'm still a virgin. The angel explains, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then notice, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who is said to be barren is in her what? Sixth month. 6 months from September is March. 6 months from September 25th is March 25th. If that is the day that Mary conceived to have Jesus, move 9 months ahead and you have December 25th. You say, that's a little bit flimsy reasoning. Folks, that's about the best we have. What it shows is that it is very, very possible. I'm not going to stake my eternal destiny on it, but it is very possible that Jesus was born on December 25th or right around there, as was claimed before the Roman feasts of Saturnalia and Sol Invictus came popular. So we do have some scriptural evidence that would at least suggest when Jesus could have been born. You say, so what? Do I really have to know all this? Here's why. You have people that you know today that are going to tell you Christmas is nothing but a pagan holiday. There isn't anything to Christmas. They just appropriated all these pagan rituals, and that's really what you're celebrating. You shouldn't celebrate Christmas. That's not when Jesus was born. We don't have to put up with that. Christmas is not a pagan holiday. It is not a cultural appropriation. It celebrates the birth of Christ. And while we cannot with 100% certainty say Jesus was born on December 25th, there's a better argument for that date than any other date on the calendar. So we can hold our heads high, celebrate the birth of Christ, and not give in to our increasingly secular culture that is going to try to diminish Christianity every time it gets. So, celebrate the birth of Christ. Don't be ashamed that we celebrate the coming of the Son of God. And let's move on to the spiritual application. How can this be a testimony to unbelievers? I think we need to be realistic. Let's not try to shove December 25th down anybody's throat. I agree with Christian author Bruce Shelley, who writes, our celebration of Christmas or any other Christian holy day goes much deeper than the date on which we observe it. The first Christmas celebration did not commemorate a date at all, but a supremely important event, the appearance of Israel's promised Messiah and the Lord of the nations. One thing we can say absolutely true is that Jesus lived here on earth. Even the secular Roman histories record that Jesus, who was called Christ, lived and died in Judea under the direction of a Roman governor. It is a historic fact, and if Jesus died, he had to have been born. We're not into mythology here. This is fact. Jesus Christ lived and died. He was born as a baby. Furthermore, Paul writes in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Some translations render that at just the right time. I had a pastor years ago that said, in the nick of time, God sent his Son. And when you look at the conditions of the world at that time, they could not have been better for the spread of Christianity. You had the Jewish scriptures for centuries had been prophesying the coming of the Messiah. The Greeks had introduced a universal language that the whole world understood that made the spread of the gospel that much easier. The Roman Empire had organized the whole Mediterranean area into a vast communications network. There were highways that ran throughout the whole known world, thanks to the Romans. Some of them are still in evidence today. You can go over there and walk on those highways, and some of them are in better condition than the highways in the state of Illinois. These are historic facts. And at just the right time, a time when there was peace over the whole world, they called it the Pax Romana, the Christian missionaries could go from province to province, from nation to nation, and spread the word of Jesus. I don't believe that God just, you know, closed his eyes and threw a dart at a calendar and said, okay, that's when Jesus will come to earth. It was in the fullness of time. It was at just the right time. It was the most opportune time for Christ to come, to live, to die, to rise to life, and for his followers to spread the message through the world. Now, has modern Christmas become too commercialized? Yeah, I would say so. Have we lost sight of the real meaning of Christmas and all the lights and the gifts and the other elements that have no biblical basis? Maybe. But does that mean we should discard Christmas altogether? I don't think so. There is much in our Christmas observances which may not be explicitly found in the Bible, but make a legitimate and wholesome application of the significance of God coming to the world as a human being. In a society that is becoming increasingly secularized and fragmented, it is surely good that we have an annual and universal remembrance of the great historical fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We should take advantage of that. Even unbelievers and hardened cynics somehow have a sense at Christmas time that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. This makes it a great time to share our faith with those who don't know Him. Instead of seeing the secular aspects of Christmas as a threat to the spiritual ones, we would do well to see many of these good elements of the secular holiday, like the lights, the trees, the music, the family gatherings, the all-around good cheer that makes Christmas one of the most beloved holidays, even by unbelievers. My guess is if we would take a poll of people outside the church and ask them, what is your favorite holiday? I'll bet the number one answer would be Christmas. Maybe for the wrong reasons, but they still love it. They still look forward to it. What a great opportunity to share with them the truth that God sent His Son. And this is truly good news. It's a cause to celebrate. We ought to be joyful. We ought to enjoy this time of year. The early Christians transformed their culture. And I think we have too, even if we don't recognize it. I'll give you an example. Every December, television abounds with Christmas movies. Hallmark Channel will show dozens of movies that all have the same plot. Different actors, different town with some corny holiday name, same plot. And you know why they do that year after year? Because people love it. They eat it up. They're sick of the news. They're sick of the politics. They're sick of everything that's going on in the world. Let me escape to a time where there's joy and there's love and there's peace and all of this good stuff. Even the commercials reflect the holiday spirit. Has anyone ever seen a television movie or even a commercial about a child who gets an enormous hoard of presents and rejoice to show them off and lord it over his friends that received less? No, you don't see that. That's not what they present. You see people helping out those who are less fortunate. You see a spirit of giving. You see a spirit of love and joy. Did they get that from Saturnalia? I don't think so. Have they culturally appropriated some ancient Roman holiday? I don't think so. That's more in tune with the Christian emphasis of the birth of Christ than it is anything else. Don't let our secular world set the narrative. Don't let them make you feel guilty that you celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Don't let them tell you and convince you that Christmas is a pagan holiday that Christians have stolen for their own religious purposes. It's not true. What it is a wonderful opportunity to share the good news of Jesus through all of the various elements that are there. Sure, we give gifts to one another, but what is the greatest gift ever given? It was Jesus. Oh yes, we have Christmas trees and we put lights and bows and all kinds of ornaments on them. But what was the perfect tree? It was the tree that Jesus died on. Yes, we have lights. Sometimes we call Christmas a season of light. But Jesus is the light of the world. This is how we can celebrate Christmas and use it to share Christ with others. We ought to take advantage of that opportunity. Instead of allowing the world to brand Christmas a pagan holiday, let's show the truth of Jesus. And in the words of 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I don't think we have to hide in our homes, embarrassed that we celebrate the birth of Jesus on December 25th. I think we ought to get out there and celebrate, enjoy, and engage with people who don't come to church, who maybe don't have a clue why we call it Christmas. Let them know what it's about. There may not be a better opportunity. They may never be more open to the truth of Jesus than this time of year when we celebrate his coming to earth. And that's the challenge I give you this day. Take the truth.